Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Chapter 2. The Purpose of Sacrifices. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Says the Lord. God had a purpose in the sacrifices which he commanded Israel to offer. The sacrifices themselves were not the end desired. They were only a means. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. The fault of Israel was that they did not proceed from the shadow to the substance. The reason of their rejection of Christ, when he came among them in the flesh, was that they had not recognized him in the sacrifices, commanded by God, which prefigured his work. Had they learned what the sacrifices were designed to teach them, they would have received the Savior gladly when he appeared. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they know him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. The eyes of Israel were blinded in the reading of the Old Testament. They thought that they were God's people, because they were so much better than the surrounding heathen, and that in offering sacrifices they were rendering the worship which God desired. But God did not wish them to stay forever among the shadows. He wanted them to come to the substance, and know by experience the fullness and power of the salvation from sin which was in Christ. Since the shadows in themselves were worthless, it did no good to multiply them. No number of shadows, however great, will suffice to make one substance. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. So the Lord asks, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? The object at which the Lord aimed was the taking away of sin, and the bringing in of righteousness, not only to cleanse the sinner and make him whiter than snow, but to keep him so. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. The same question is addressed to us. To what purpose is the multitude of your prayers and religion's observances? Are these the end of our Christian experience? Are we, any more than was Israel, come to the substance of Christ's work for us? Or do we, as they, have to offer continually, year after year, sacrifices that never take away sin? Are we delivered from the power of sin any more than were they? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wherefore when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body have you prepared me. Then said I, lo, I come to do your will, O God, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In proportion as Christ's sacrifice was more effectual than the blood of bulls and goats for the taking away of sin, so should the deliverance from sin of those who receive Christ differ from the experience of those who offered slain beasts. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. All that is needed to be done to keep men from falling and to present them faultless before the presence of God with exceeding joy, has been already completed in the sacrifice of Christ. Those who receive him for all that he is may prove now the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. This is the object of God in giving his Son to us. Until he is received as a perfect Savior from sin, he is not known in his real character. His name is Jesus because he saves from sin, and no one can know Jesus who does not know a Savior from sin. Until we thus know him, even if professing faith in him, we are only among the shadows of good things to come. In giving Christ to us, God gives us deliverance from all the power of evil, and if we neglect to receive so great salvation, all our prayers and religious observances will be to no purpose. They will be no more acceptable to God than were the sacrifices offered by ancient Israel. But now that the reality of Christ's work for us is made known, we may leave the shadows of good things to come and enjoy the good things themselves. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. E.J. Wagoner.